Anytime you think about entering into something, there's always, or it should be, some type of entry application. It ought to be something that you need to fill out in order to be a member of it. I know that being on the YMCA board, you have to fill out a long application, and then they'll go through all your references, and then you pay your money, they get your bank account, and then they'll draft it, and so forth and so on. You just can't walk into the YMCA and begin working out. It doesn't work that way. I mean, you just can't do that. Now, even if a member and they have a friend, that person has to fill out some type of just a little short form. But the point is that you have to fill something out in order to enter. Well, it's the same with the kingdom of God. And when you think about the kingdom of God, the greatest institution on the face of the earth is the kingdom of God. That's the greatest institution on the face of the earth. And the reason why is because the king of this kingdom is Jesus Christ. When you think of the very first doctrine, if you will, that the New Testament is actually promoting, it's the kingdom of God. Why? Because in the book of Matthew, chapter 1, verses 1 through 17, you have the lineage, the genealogy of a king. And his name was going to be Jesus, Emmanuel, Messiah, Christ. And I find it very interesting that this kingdom, this territory in which Jesus Christ is ruler, this territory where those who live within it are a different people, a peculiar people, a strange people, a people that go according to a different system, standard of living. Well, Brother Stephen, when he was teaching, he brought out some passages that are worthy of our consideration. In Matthew chapter 23, if you will, turn your Bibles there. In verse number 13, Jesus, in his woes against the scribes and the Pharisees, had something very interesting to say. Because when you think of the kingdom of God, the last thing you want is for someone to keep you from entering into it. And sometimes it's the traditions of men. Sometimes it's the behavior of people that's in the kingdom itself. But here we see something very interesting in verse number 13. He says, "But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering in to go in." But then turn your Bibles to the book of Luke, and let's look at another passage, then we'll make some comments. In Luke chapter 11, in verse number 52, I've been pondering this for a while, trying to get to the bottom of it in my mind, and maybe if you got some thoughts on it, you can give them to me. But in Luke chapter 11, in verse number 52, Jesus says something to the lawyers. He says, "Woe to you lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. You did not enter in yourself, and those who were entering in, you hindered." And so that caused me to think, Brother Royce, last thing I want to do is to take away the key to knowledge or the key of knowledge. The last thing I want to do is hinder people from entering into the kingdom of God. Why? Because the kingdom of God is the church, Matthew 16, 18, and 19. And so when we consider this, we know that you have to enter in. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 20, Jesus says something very interesting. Many brethren like to use Matthew 5 verse 20 as it relates to offering, giving. But that's false. That's not right. It's not right at all. Why? Because Jesus, Brother Brian, is dealing with righteousness. He said, "Except your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no wise enter the kingdom." Now, take it back to the time in which Jesus said this. The Pharisees had a certain righteousness which they thought would get people into the kingdom. Jesus said, "Your righteousness needs to exceed theirs." Why? Because the righteousness of God is actually, during the time in which Jesus would go back to glory and send the Spirit, would be the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so it's very powerful for us to be thinking about, well, what about us? What are we doing to help people see the righteousness of Almighty God? In Matthew chapter 7, in verse number 21, Matthew 7, verse 21, we take notice of another passage. And this is why when you're studying, you keep things in their context. You try to think things through a little bit. And notice what Jesus says here. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord. Now, notice, shall enter. So we're talking about entering into the kingdom of God. But he says, not everyone that says, Lord, Lord. What does that teach us? That it's not enough to just say, Lord, Lord, but it's doing the will of the Father, the end of verse number 21. And so when we consider that, friends, we want to make sure that as we're teaching people, it's not about you just saying, Lord, but it's about you doing the will of the Father. Look at Matthew 18, verse 3. In Matthew 18, in verse number 3, Jesus had this to say. And it's all about entering into the kingdom. Let's start at verse number 1. Let's go down to verse number 4. Why not? He says, at that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them, and said, surely I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means what? Enter. Enter. Jesus is teaching individuals trying to get inside of the kingdom of God. And then notice what he says in verse 4. Therefore, whosoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. You want to be great? Jesus said on one occasion, serve. Be a minister. Be a servant. And so as we come to some type of closure, look at John 3. In John 3, Nicodemus comes to Jesus by night. And it's interesting that he had a conversation with the Lord. In verses, starting at verse number 1 and finishing at verse number 5, he said, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God. For no one can do these miracles, these signs that you do, unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see. Now, notice the word that Jesus used, see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And so Jesus was always trying to teach men and women how to enter into the kingdom, how to get in, how to have membership. And so when I consider what we ought to be doing, and I know many of us are, is helping people to see how to enter into the kingdom of God, how to stay in the kingdom of God, how to flourish in the kingdom of God. And so, when we consider entering into this kingdom, simple. One has to obey the gospel. Good news. And as I was thinking about this today, I was thinking about the good news of Jesus Christ, and it's still good news, even though it was a horrific death. The way that Jesus got beaten, according to Isaiah 52 and verse number 10, that his visage was marred, his body was marred, that he couldn't even, in comparison to any other man. And then Isaiah 53 being the suffering servant and how he took that beating. But he didn't do it for himself. He did it for us. He did it for those who are outside of Christ. Reminds me of a conversation I had today, and we were talking at dinner. And I said to this person, I said, can I just talk straight to you? Can I just tell you the truth about something? Please, because nobody else wants to. Friends, people want to hear the truth. Don't circumvent. Don't go around. Just give it to them straight, but do it in love. Speak the truth in love. and let people know and let them make a decision on what they want to do with the truth. And then whatever they do with it, it's on them. So the gospel, the death, the burial, the resurrection, the appearance of Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God, you can't have one without the other. In Acts 8 and verse number 12, Philip was preaching the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. Can't have one without the other. And so when we think about entering into the kingdom of God, what a beautiful thing to know that Jesus put all of that work into helping men to get inside of the kingdom. I'll leave you with these words for those of us who are Christians. You remember, I think it's Revelation 1 and verse number 10. It was John who was on the Isle of Patmos in the kingdom and in the tribulation. What are you saying? John was in the kingdom, which tells us that the teaching that Jesus Christ is going to come back and establish his kingdom is false, because John was actually in the kingdom, which means that we can be in the kingdom today too. We can be translated out of darkness, or conveyed out of darkness and translated into the kingdom, delivered out of darkness and translated into the kingdom of the Son of his love. If you're not a child of God, please respond. If you are, you need special prayer. Maybe you left the kingdom. Maybe you've been thinking about leaving the kingdom. Don't leave the kingdom. Stay in the kingdom. Flourish inside of the kingdom, and God will do amazing work in your life. As we stand, as we sing the Savior's invitation.